With the Lord's help, today we'll look at the first 11 verses. The first 11 verses, and we'll find our theme from the 11th verse. We'll read these 11 verses. I'll start with verse 1, and then you join with me, please, on every other verse. Acts chapter 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? They that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. When he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. There arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. When there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Let's read verse 11 together, please. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Scripture that we can read today together, but also that we can meditate on in this message and consider the principles or the truths that can be gleaned from this text, not just to learn about something that happened. While we do want to learn that, we want to learn how we can apply it to our life today. We want to understand what is being said here a little bit more, possibly. And we need your Holy Spirit's help to do that. Lord, I don't know everyone's need today, but I'm thankful that you know all the needs of people here and people online. And Lord, I pray that you would meet those needs. I pray, God, that as we speak or listen, that we would be emptied of ourselves and filled with your Spirit, and that you would get all the glory for it. If there's anyone here in our midst that's not saved, our greatest prayer is that they would be convicted of the need they have to be saved. And that today they would turn to Christ and be born again of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. We take our theme from the 11th verse of this chapter, where the Bible says, The Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him. At the close of chapter number 22, which we looked at last Sunday, the Apostle Paul has been imprisoned in Jerusalem. Now remember, this is where the Apostle Paul wanted to go for quite some time. And he was determined to get there, despite warnings, despite the admonition of others to, you know, maybe don't go there. He had his sights set on Jerusalem, and he made it there by the grace of God. And we see, though, that he is under house arrest. He is in prison. In fact, the Roman soldiers have done him a help. By taking him into captivity. And remember, we learned last week that the Romans were all about decently and in order. Doesn't mean they were always the nicest people. It just meant that they didn't like there to be uproars within the city. And we learned that again even in our reading just a few moments ago. But Paul is in prison. And in fact, Paul will never leave prison again. He will always be either in the custody of the Romans. He will be under house arrest. He will be in prison until his death from this point on. But that doesn't mean, if you think about that and you think, wow, that's difficult. But, you know, some of his greatest ministry is going to be done from this point onward. Maybe you've heard the term before of the prison epistles. The prison epistles. If you've never heard that before, these are the books of the Bible that the Apostle Paul would write while he is in prison, while he is under house arrest. They are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. All of these books of the Bible that possibly are some favorite books or verses of yours that are in these. I was looking at my Bible that I was given back in 2000, and I used it mostly for all the years of the church. It's kind of a little bit, it's in need of being rebinded and recovered. But I was looking at that this week again, reading from it in the book of Philippians in that Bible. I mean, not one of the pages in that book, that Bible, have not been written on or notes or whatever. And you can, I mean, there's even, you can see the pages are a little bit distorted in color. And I've spent a lot of time in Philippians. I love that book of the Bible. And so that was written when Paul was in prison. And in that alone, that point alone, is one I think that should challenge you and challenge me, because it's an epistle primarily about joy. I mean, think about it. He's telling you and he's telling me to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and he's sitting in prison or he's sitting under house arrest. He's someone who could actually tell us that and understand what it meant to have a time in your life where maybe you wouldn't have joy. But anyway, that's just a side note there. So it doesn't hinder his ministry. His ministry continues on. His work for the Lord continues on. And you know what? That challenges me. It challenges me that, you know, sometimes things come into my life. Sometimes physical difficulties come into my life. And while we may have to take a step back and we may have to reevaluate, it doesn't mean that we stop praying. It doesn't mean that we stop serving the Lord. It doesn't mean that we stop advancing the gospel. Or there could be a financial setback, or there could be an emotional setback, or there's all kinds of setbacks that Satan will use in our life. You know, I read this morning Job 1 and 2. Job 1 and 2 was part of my Bible reading this morning. Oh my goodness, what a reminder of setbacks. I mean, you talk about setbacks in the life of Job and the fact that Satan was picking on Job, and on it goes, and yet Job just continued to serve the Lord and do what was right, and all this Job sinned not with his mouth. And again, we could talk about so many others in the Bible, but here's our example today of a man of God, a born-again believer, just like you and just like me. By the way, we have the same Holy Spirit of God that the Apostle Paul had. In fact, we definitely have something more than Paul had, and that is we have the entire Word of God. And so there's no reason for us today, to quit. There's no reason for us today to, as they say, throw in the towel. There's no reason for that. Because God is faithful. And by the way, as the Lord stood by Paul, and we'll talk more about that, the Lord is standing by us. And he is faithful, and I thank him for that. But as we journey through these verses of Scripture this morning, we are going to be reminded of how during great times of difficulty, God is still there. Any of you can speak of great difficulty in 2021. And God is still there. Maybe you could go back and you could think of another time in your life of great difficulty, and I would submit to you that God is still there. He was still there. He's still there now. And he'll be there in 2022 if difficulty comes our way. And I praise God for his faithfulness. But let's look at our text today and see several things that we can learn from them. Verse number one, we find Paul's defense. Paul's defense. Right away, Paul looks into the eyes of the Sanhedrin. This is the highest court of Israel. And he looks into their eyes and he says to them, I am a man of good conscience before God until this day. You see that at the end of verse number one. A man of integrity. A man of courage. For him to say that, this is in spite of the fact that many of these people that he is speaking to right now in this verse wanted him dead. I was reading this week about this verse of Scripture and about this Sanhedrin, and somebody in the writings that I was reading said that it's possible that some of these very men were with him in training, former classmates. Remember that he was in training as a strict keeper of the law under Gamaliel. And some wrote that it's a great possibility that some of the people in this high court that he's speaking to might have been sitting with him at the feet of Gamaliel at some point along the journey. His conscience was clear while professing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, I am committed to the cause of Christianity as much as I was committed to Judaism. Paul is a committed Christian. He's saying, I have nothing on my conscience today. My conscience is clear. That's verse number one, Paul's defense. Secondly, verse two, though, we see Paul's test. Paul's test. Ananias, the high priest. Josephus tells us that Ananias was profane, greedy, and hot-tempered. That's not a very nice description, is it? Profane, greedy, and hot-tempered. That was Ananias. Ananias did not care for Paul's words. Ananias did not care for Paul's bold defense. And we read what happened just a few moments ago. He orders, what he orders done to Paul, by the way, was against the law. It was against the Jewish law to basically condemn someone or cause someone to be guilty without trial. And that's basically by asking someone to punch him in the face. And that's literally what it was. You know, sometimes we might read something like this, and to smite him on the mouth. You know, when I read that, I've been reading that verse for many years. When I read smite him on the mouth in my English mind today in 2021, I think of something very light. I think of it being, you know, just a tap. This was nothing other than a punch in the face. When somebody says the words, I'm not trying to change the Bible, I'm just saying, when I hear punch in the face, I think pain. I think bloody lip. I think bloody nose. You know, I think whatever else you might think as well. That's exactly what happened here in this text. This was a great test. This was a temptation. The Ananias was out of line. Now, Ananias isn't even a Christian. But Ananias, who was supposedly a strict keeper of the law. And Ananias broke even the Jewish law right here. He was wrong. Have you ever known political or religious leaders to be wrong before? For sure. Have you ever known people in authority in your life to be wrong? By the way, yes, you can shake your head. Yeah, every authority in my life at one point or another has been wrong. I'm talking about my parents. I'm talking about even pastors in my life. I'm talking about government leaders. I'm talking about prime ministers. I'm talking about presidents. I'm talking about every authority in my life, whether they were born-again Christians or whether they were lost people on their way to a Christless eternity, it matters not. Every authority in my life at one point or another has been wrong. And by the way, I don't mean to sound negative this morning in this message right away, but it's going to happen again. I'm gonna find out one day or someday that this has been done, and this is by an authority. And by the way, right now, as we know it, the government is still an authority over our lives. And that doesn't mean that the government is going to do everything right. And sometimes it's a test, isn't it? Pastor Turner, how much do we obey the government? I thought we were supposed to obey God. We are supposed to obey God. And right now, we can learn from the Bible that we're supposed to be submissive to the government as long as we're not disobedient to God. And yes, maybe the line is becoming a little harder and harder to recognize the difference between submission to God or submission to the government and obedience to God. We're going to have to be very discerning on that, aren't we? But here we see a clear case of someone that's in authority and someone that is over Paul, if you will, orders something to be done to him that is wrong and is against the law. It's a test. By the way, Satan is the great tempter, is he not? Turn to Matthew chapter 4, please. Satan is a great tempter. God does not tempt any man with sin. We know that from the Bible. God does test you and God does test me to see if our faith is genuine. But God does not try to get you to sin. God does not try to lead us into sin. God challenges my faith and God tests my faith and he'll continue to do that. And by the way, I'm thankful for those challenging and testing times because I know God is standing with me. And I know that God is faithful in spite of my unfaithfulness. And I know that God is powerful in spite of my weakness. But in Matthew chapter 4, we read a very familiar passage where God, the Word of God tells us in verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He has just fasted and prayed for many days. 40 days to be exact. The Bible says in verse number 2 that Jesus, here's where we see the humanity of Jesus, by the way. The Bible says that he was hungry. Do you see it there in verse 2? 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says that he hungered. I don't know if we've ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I never have. I know what it's like to fast one day, 2 days, 3 days. And of course, you get further along, you don't even think about it anymore. That's what they say. So maybe that was the case, but the Bible says that Jesus is hungry. Verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Jesus answered and said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up. They said, any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's trying to quote the Bible there. He didn't do a very good job of it. Psalm 91. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then one more time, Satan tempts him in verse number 8. And he says, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you all these things. Everything you see. Jesus said unto him, verse 10, get thee behind me, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. Amen for that. By the way, here in 2021, we have the same opportunity when the tempter comes to us to say, it is written. And when testings come to us to say, it is written. And when challenges come to us that we want to do something that is displeasing to the Lord, it is the Word of God that is the sword of the Spirit that provides us with the victory. By the way, the temptation plan there in Matthew 4, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, they're all right there. And it's the same way Satan works in my life today. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And each time those testings, those temptations come, it is imperative that we as the children of God be ready and armed with the Word of God. Someone prayed here this morning that they're thankful for the armor of God, and they mentioned also the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's go back to Acts 23. Paul's testing. Paul's testing. You're going to face testing. I'm going to face testing. This is someone who was in authority. This is someone who broke the law. This was a test. What are we going to do about it? Well, we see in verses 3 to 5, Paul's response. Paul's response. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law? Because, again, he broke the law. So basically, you're holding me to the law, but you didn't even keep the law yourself. And commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, this is a key word, by the way, revilest. We'll talk about it in a minute. Revilest thou God's high priest? What a statement. Ananias is a pagan sinner on his way to hell. And yet the crowd says, this is God's high priest. You believe God has put everyone in authority wherever they are today? You believe God sets up one and brings down another? I believe that. You know why? Because the Bible tells me that. That means every ruler in the world today is God appointed. I don't like so-and-so. Okay, fine. You can say that, but they're God appointed. Every one of them. You mean even, yeah, even him. You mean even her? Yeah, I mean even her. They're God appointed. Verse 5, then said Paul. I used to look at this whole scene as in a little different way than I do now. But anyway, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written. Now Paul says, he kind of backs up a little bit. And he says, because it is written, thou shalt not speak, look at this, evil of the ruler of thy people. Now, I'm a firm believer that God's word is inspired, infallible, it's inerrant. I believe the Bible tells us, in, I think it's 2 Timothy, right, that says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's profitable. That means in 2021, Acts chapter 23, verse number 5, is profitable for me. And while Paul said to the people there, don't, the Bible says, the word of God says, it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Go back to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22, please. Exodus 22 and verse 28. Exodus 22, 28. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Thou shalt not revile the gods. There's that word again. Exodus 22, 28. Thou shalt not revile the gods. Obviously, I recognize that it's the gods, false gods. But notice, nor curse the ruler of thy people. So Paul is saying, I know what it says in Exodus, even though I just did that. I just stepped outside of what I was supposed to do and say by saying what I said. Here's Paul's response. Go back to our text now, please. What did we learn a few weeks ago on a Sunday night? We learned this, that my response is my responsibility. I cannot control what happens to me. Paul could not control that the high priest Ananias just said, okay, slug him. Give him an uppercut. It just sounds a whole lot better than smite him, you know. I'm sorry, I'm not kidding. Punch him, you know. Wrong, not, that's wrong. He broke the law. He broke the law right there. That was wrong. But my response is my responsibility. To me, and I mean, you can argue, we won't argue about it, but you can disagree with me, and that's fine. But I believe even more than I ever have before that Paul reacted when he should have acted. Understand the difference? When you get punched, it's very easy to want to fight back. Right? Of course. And I'm not saying don't defend yourself. That's not what we're saying. But in this case, it was, I believe, personally, in looking at this, and even with Paul's own words, I believe Paul reacted to a situation where he should have acted in a better way. Notice that word revilest. This is how I came to this conclusion in studying this out. The people said, and they that stood by said revilest. How did they come up with this word? Again, every word is important, isn't it? When we read the Bible, we've got to look at these words. And because words are powerful, aren't they? Words are powerful in how we speak to one another, but think about the words that God gives us. They're so powerful. The word revilest there, it means to abuse or revile in anger. To revile, to abuse, it has the connotation of anger. Go with me to 1 Peter 3 quickly. 1 Peter 3. To me, this is so current in our living right now. Don't miss it this morning. I believe this is so current in our life, especially right here in the message. Now, really, the whole message is supposed to be at the end, but we're taking, I think God's wanting us to stall here and keep emphasizing this. 1 Peter 3, 9. Not rendering evil for evil. So don't give evil back when you've been given evil. Don't give it back. That's what it means to render. Or railing for railing. But contrarywise. Or in other words, instead of. Look at the word. Blessing. What? Yeah. Blessing. You know, when evil comes, bless them. We talked about that in recent days as well. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Oh, there you go. There's a promise there. No, but they did me wrong. I've got to. No, you don't. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So this revilest comes in the same way, rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. This is the adjective form of the word there, 1 Peter 3, 9. So they say, revilest thou the high priest? How did they come up with this word revilest? It's because of the way, and for me, it's because of the way Paul spoke when he said, verse number 3, what Paul said. Was Paul saying the truth? Probably. That's probably going to happen to him, this Ananias, if you will. But Ananias was in a God-ordained position. Think about it. Our prime minister is in a God-ordained position. And I believe it is wrong for a Christian to speak evil of the prime minister. I don't care what he does. It is wrong to speak evil of someone who is in a position of authority over us. No. We don't need to speak evil of anyone in authority. You know what we need to do? We need to speak them to the God of heaven. We need to ask God. I've prayed this prayer numerous times. God, please humble our prime minister. Please humble him. And I'm not praying that to wish ill will on him at all. He needs to be humbled. By the way, so do I. So do you. But I wish no evil on that man. I wish no evil on his wife or his children. And we can say that about every religious, political leader, whatever it may be. He was in a God-ordained position. Now, I will say this, Ananias was not under the control of God. He was not being controlled by God. Who was he being controlled by? Satan. And you can let that sink in as much as you want to let it sink in about so many political leaders today. But that doesn't mean I have the responsibility to wish evil on them. No, I have a responsibility to pray for them. Pray for them. It is my responsibility to be submissive unless I am violating a biblical principle. There have always been and there always will be bad leaders in government or any other leadership position. But it is not my job and my response to wish ill will or speak evil of any of them. It is my response to be submissive. In fact, here we see Paul condemns himself right in front of the court in admitting that what he did was not right. So it is my firm belief that Paul's response was one that we need to learn not to have in our life. Next, Paul's insight. Look at verses 6 to 10. I mean, it is hard to believe how worked up this group is. Notice, actually, go down, if you will, to verse 10. And we won't read 6 to 10 again, but look at verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension. Now, what's happened here is Paul gets a word of knowledge. I'm just kidding about that. But Paul gets some insight into knowing, okay, I see a way that God's going to use to get me out of this, so to speak. We've got two groups of people here, religious groups of people. We have the Pharisees. They believed in the bodily resurrection, that it was possible to have a bodily resurrection. Pharisees, okay? And then we have the Sadducees, emphasizing the first part of their name, sad, okay? Sadducees. We have the Sadducees, and I've always said it that way, probably because somebody told me that, and now I can't even say it the right way. But they did not believe in a bodily resurrection. Why did they not believe in that? It was because they only looked at Genesis through Deuteronomy. There is no resurrection in those verses, and so in those books, and so they just didn't believe it was true. So we have the Pharisees and we have the Sadducees, and so basically Paul was able to pit one against the other and kind of deflect all of this aggression and this dissension of him. Notice how it was severe it was in verse 10. Finally, the chief captain, this is the Roman captain, he steps in. Because it's really picking up. Because they believed, in verse 10, fearing lest Paul should have been, notice these words, pulled in pieces. This is no smiting on the face. It's elevated a little bit from a smite on the face to, you know, tearing the guy apart. And again, to me, this is so amazing because Paul loved these people. This is why Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem. This is why Paul wanted to speak the truth for these people. These were his own people, if you will. These were the people like him. This is who he was. Remember how he said a few verses, chapters earlier, you know, you were so passionate. He like, you know, I was like you guys. He loved them. And yet they wanted him dead. He was aware of who was around him, and God gave him insight to know what to say and what not to say. You know, God has given us the Holy Spirit of God, and there's times when there's people around you, hopefully not quite like this example wanting to rip you apart, but there's people around you that there's opportunities to give the gospel, and God will help us to know as we're led by the Spirit of God, this is not the time to speak about this, but this is the time to speak about whatever, another topic or whatever it may be. And I learned from this that I don't have to give everything at one time. That's not Paul. Paul didn't give the gospel here. He just said he got the attention off of him for that particular time. Insight. I want that kind of insight. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of insight. We could use another word, wisdom, that is only from above. By the way, he giveth liberally to all of us that ask of him. What does he give us? Wisdom. You want to hand out the gospel tracts. We want to be a witness to people. We need wisdom. But really, the message is this. This is the message, though. That was all just the beginning, but the message will be the close, okay? We come to verse 11. The next night, the Bible says, the night following. So Paul has been taken and put into the castle again. He's in prison. Think about what would be running through your mind. Think about what might have been running through his mind. Great giant of the faith, Paul, but he's alone, or so it seems. He's alone. He's almost been killed multiple times. He's got a fat lip from that soldier. And that stings. He's sitting there. The Bible says the night following. This is so helpful. By the way, make it applicable to you, because it is for you. It is for me. The Bible says the Lord stood by him. Could be that you've had a moment like that in your life. I'm not talking about seeing a 900-foot Jesus in your house or out on the yard. I'm talking about that. You know the presence of the Lord. At that moment when you needed it most, God's presence was there. And as sure as an audible voice, like Paul heard, the Lord spoke to you. And in this night, I love what the Lord said to Paul. Be of good cheer, Paul. Be of good cheer. Smile, Paul. Cheer up. Like that song says, cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, brother Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness. So must thou bear witness also at Rome. I'd like to take you to several verses of Scripture as we conclude, but we're not done yet. But stay with me. The Lord stood by him. Go with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And let's tonight, or this morning, let's think as we look at these verses that we're there with Paul, or we're there in that prison palace, so to speak. The Bible says in Psalm 46, in verse number 1, maybe you want to jot some of these references down. These are so helpful. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. A very present help. A very present help. Don't miss the word present. It's not the ones maybe under your tree. This means in attendance. Paul could testify that God was a very present help. And today, God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. And so today we can claim the promise of his word that says that Jesus Christ is a very present help. Meaning he's with us right now. And the Bible says there, therefore will not we fear, because the Lord stood with us, because the Lord stands with us, we need not fear. Because he is a very present help in trouble, we need not fear. Because he is the same yesterday, he's just like he was in Paul's day, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, God is our refuge and strength. The Lord was with Paul. The Lord stood with Paul. The Lord is with us today. Isaiah 41. And the Bible says there in verse number 14, Isaiah 41 and 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 41, 14, I will help thee. Paul, cheer up. You're right where you need to be. Yeah, but this lip is really... That's for a purpose too. What? Yes. Everything God does is for a purpose. You know, you look down and you might see something. You might see on your hand, oh yeah, I remember when that happened. You know? Maybe I was a little careless about something one time, and I see a scar, and I've got several of them. I won't tell you all about them right now. That is pointless. But you know what it reminds me of? To be careful. It reminds me to take my time. You know, God's put things in your life, in my life, not just for the moment, but for the reminders. And by the way, he's there when it's happening. He's there in the future. He's not bound by time. Fear not, thou worm, I will help thee, saith the Lord. Turn just one page over to chapter 43, Isaiah 43. Verse number 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. There's a word. There's two words we need to hear. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. The Lord stood with him. The Lord stood by him. The Lord stands by you today. The Lord stands by me today. Not only did the Lord stand with Paul, so Paul's, the last point is Paul's relief, by the way. Paul's relief. That's in verse number 11. Got ahead of myself, too excited about it. But the Lord stood with Paul, but secondly, underneath this one, the Lord spoke to Paul. By the way, he still speaks today. He still speaks today. Turn to Acts 18, please. Acts 18. The Lord stood by him. By the way, if you know, Paul reacted when he should have acted, the Lord still stood by him. God, we make mistakes. God still stands by us. Yes, he corrects us. Yes, he chastens us. He doesn't abandon us when we're his children. He's faithful. Acts 18, verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Wow. Paul's relief. Let's go back to Acts 23 one more time, verse 11. I want to give you three words from this verse. They're not from this verse, but they're describing things in this verse. Number one is the word consolation. Where do we see that? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Imagine we're sitting there, as I said earlier, and all of a sudden we hear the Lord Jesus say, as he heard, as Paul heard, but you hear it in your moment of challenge or your moment of difficulty. Cheer up, Ben. Cheer up, Moses. Cheer up, so-and-so. Cheer up. That's consolation. Secondly, I don't have time to go into more of it, but secondly, there's commendation. Commendation. Where do we see that? He says, you have testified of me. That's commendation. You have given full witness of me. Paul, you did a good job. You got a fat lip, but you did a good job. You're in prison, but you did a good job. Commendation. There's so much more that can be done with a compliment, isn't there? Something we need to learn, I think, in our communication with those that we love is, you know, to be complimenting. Yes, we have to correct, but be complimenting more. Commendation. And then lastly, consolation, be of good cheer. Commendation, Paul, you did a good job. Number three is confidence. Where's the confidence here? Notice what Jesus says, so must thou bear witness. Also at Rome. You know what? If I was Paul, I would have been thinking, where? I mean, as much as he wanted to get to Jerusalem, we find in our Bibles that Paul also, he wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to get to Rome. And Jesus here says, he's in prison in Jerusalem. How am I going to get to Rome? Guess what? The Roman soldiers are going to take him there. We're going to see that. I mean, what a mighty God we serve. In the most unbelievable way, God's going to get the job done because the Lord stood by him and the Lord is standing by you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord, just like Job said. God will get it done in your life, and God will get it done in my life in maybe the least likely way. And when that happens, guess what? He gets all the glory. And we can praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Confidence. God cares for you as much as He cares for Paul. God cares for me as much as He cared for Paul. If you take this phrase home with you today and make it yours, the Lord is standing by me. The Lord standing by me.